You are listening to the Faith, Love, and Relationship Podcast with Melvin Davis. If you hadn't had a chance to listen to my first episode, Sacrifice and Trust, you might be missing out. I got some great feedback from people who tuned in and gave it a listen. They were touched in very profound ways. And so I dealt with, you know, seasons of having to sacrifice and to give up things that you may not want to let go and trust in God with it. But in this episode, I want to talk about something that you don't quite hear in the conversation about godly courting and godly relationships. Most of the content you hear is about what a woman should look for in a godly man, and is, I think, everything that's out there. Most of the things that I've heard through conversations with other people, a lot of it is great content. I think it's shedding light on, you know, what a woman in Christ should look for. Those red flags, those signs, those elephants in the room, you know, all those things are, you know, just great tools for women to apply when a guy approaches them. And I think a lot of that content is helping women to avoid mistakes and wasting time. However, there's not much out there of what a godly man should look for in a woman. And this is where, you know, I come in to contribute to the discussion and conversation of godly relationships and godly courting. And I want to bring some balance, to the conversation, because I think is happening is that, people who are, there's countless videos, there's so many videos and sermons and books of what a woman should, you know, look for in a man. And it's, I think in many ways, it's having a woman so focused on what she should look for in a man that it takes the attention off of her in preparation for that godly man. And this isn't a him versus her. I'm not coming, to the conversation with that approach. I just want to bring balance, because I think it's unbiblical and unhealthy for the emphasis or the focus to be on what a woman should look for in a man that she might neglect her own walk with Christ in preparation for what she's praying for. And I know that God has placed this upon my heart to bring balance, because it's unbiblical to share one side of the gospel. So before I get into it, I have like 10 points that I want to address or point out in this podcast. I'm not going to get through them all. I'll probably do the first five. I think it's really going to bless. It's going to bless, both men and women. And I think it's going to edify, bring edification to the body of Christ, so that you're approaching a courtship with humility and not with a sense of entitlement. But with humility and with the love of Christ, and entering a situation with a heart to serve and not be served. So before I get to these points that I want to share with you, I'm going to pray first. I want to pray because I don't want my own personal thoughts and feelings and experiences to influence this message. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you for being such an awesome and great leader, for being a guide to the body of Christ. You truly do know the mind and heart and thoughts of God. You search the depths of him. You know the beat of his heart. You know what moves him and what moves the Father is truth. Holy Spirit, speak the truth to me through me. Open up the hearts and minds of the listeners. Push aside their own experiences, their own perspectives, that they may hear your voice, that they may encounter your presence and your love. Let Jesus be glorified in this message. Thank you, Lord, for listening to my prayers. And it's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. On Instagram the other day, I wrote, if you want to check out my Instagram, is IM_MelvinDavis. As I pointed out in the first podcast, many of my topics is going to come from my quotes. So I'm always posting about God and love and relationships. Well, this is a quote that I posted yesterday, actually. And it reads, "There's nothing more attractive than a woman who's in love with Jesus. It shows. It's not hidden. You can see it and you can feel it." And this ties into my first point. And these are the things that a godly man who is, you know, passionate about the Lord and takes his personal relationship with God seriously and who's, you know, constantly pushing the envelope of experiencing greater intimacy with the Lord. You know, for single men who are out there who have that love for God, they're looking for certain qualities and characteristics in a godly woman. For men, it's relationships are about investment. I know that a man who is truly looking for love and he's looking for a wife, he's not looking to date. He's not looking to waste time. And so when he chooses a woman, he's also choosing to invest his time, his prayer, his feelings, his thoughts, his spirit into this relationship. So a man is, you know, we think in terms of investment. You know, what I give, what's going to be the outcome? Because we're thinking it would suck, you know, to spend you know, X amount of months or years with someone and the relationship hasn't gone anywhere. And I know women feel the same way, without doubt. When I'm speaking from a godly man's perspective, as it relates to, you know, love and our thought process. So a man who has an intimate relationship with the Lord, he knows that whoever he brings into his life is going to have an impact on his walk with God. it's the way that I think. These are things that that I'm assessing and being, conscious of. It's with anything in life, whoever you bring into, your circle, there's going to be a shift, whether good or bad. So these are five things. I'm going to get to the other five in the next episode for the sake of time. So the first thing that a godly man is looking for is a woman who publicly professes her love for Christ. A woman who publicly professes her love for Christ. And this quote, I mean, that the first point, it ties into the quote that I shared with you a few moments ago, where I said, there's nothing more attractive than a woman who's in love with Jesus. It shows, it's not hidden. You can see it, her love for Christ. Is something that a godly man is looking for, because he wants to know where you stand before he thinks about courting you and investing in you. The second thing that a godly man is looking for is a woman who studies the Word of God. A woman who studies the Word of God is, she's taking her personal relationship with the Lord seriously. She's actively pursuing love, God's love. She's actively pursuing a relationship with Him. She wants to grow in Christ. She wants to grow beyond the point from which she first gave her life to Him. And in studying the Word of God, there's, spiritual maturity happens, where her understanding of the Word and God begins to elevate in a way that where the Holy Spirit is able to gift her with wisdom and with knowledge of the Word. And she's able to use the Word, whatever that God reveals to her in her time of devotion, to be a blessing to others. So a godly man is looking for a woman who studies the Word of God. Because when you can study the Word of God, that brings me to my next point, the third point. You can have fellowship. Fellowship is something that I haven't heard talked about when it comes to relationships. You hear about, I want to marry my best friend. And you should be able to marry. I think we all should find a friend in the love of our lives where we can, be who we are. We can relax and not be so tense around each other. You can be open and honest and transparent. You can talk about anything. You can, go to your partner, your significant other, for help and not fear judgment or being ridiculed, or being criticized in a destructive way. You should have that level of comfort with the love of your life. And in the context of friendship. But when it comes to a godly relationship, you should also be able to fellowship. Now, what is fellowship? The scripture talks about, fellowshipping with other believers. What's so profound and beautiful about fellowship with someone is that you're able to talk about the Word of God. You're able to talk about your love and your desire and your passion for Him. I know with me, that's, fellowship is it's one of my love languages. My relationship with God is one of my love languages. I love talking about the Lord. I love talking about, my supernatural encounters with Him. And even when it comes to relationship goals, there's so much content about relationship goals between, a man and a woman and romantic relationships. But have you heard anyone talk about their relationship goals with Christ? Like, I have certain relationship goals with the Lord. I have a list of things that I want to experience with Him. because I want to know him in such an intimate and personal way that I can, that Jesus will be able to call me a friend. And I can be able to say to people, I know the Lord because I've experienced him. And when you're able to have that fellowship in your relationship, scripture says when two or more gather in Jesus' name, that he is present. So the power of fellowship in the relationship is the presence and the person of Christ showing up. And when Christ shows up in fellowship, so many things can happen. You begin to connect with someone on beyond the surface, beyond physical attraction, beyond emotions, beyond personality and humor and being able to laugh together. But when you fellowship, there's something that's spiritually happening there. The love of God begins to manifest in a way that you would experience a level of intimacy that you haven't felt before, haven't encountered before. And when you fellowship, there's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth happens because to be able to share your personal experiences, it brings revelation. You know, what you have experienced, encounter with God, then the next person may not have. And what that does when you fellowship with someone, you begin to share those experiences, it adds fuel to the fire for them to seek the Lord in a deeper and intimate way. It brings excitement. It brings maybe even healing, answered prayers, answered questions. Fellowship also leaves you fulfilled. You know, there's nothing more fulfilling than being able to read the Word of God together with someone and talk about it for hours. Like that, I think in a lot of ways it's more powerful, or just as powerful as feeling that romantic, you know, lovey-dovey feeling with someone. To be fulfilled spiritually with someone, it happens when there's fellowship. So a man of God is looking to fellowship with you, and that fellowship is going to be predicated on your own personal intimate relationship with the Lord. How much you study the Word of God, how much time you spend with God. And I'm speaking about quality time with God. And it's in, you know, those moments of spending intimate quality time with God that you begin to commune and fellowship and have fellowship with Him. You know, it's Jesus' desires to fellowship with you, for Him to reveal Himself to you. Imagine experiencing that in their relationship. And my next point, this is the fourth point. The fourth point is, a godly man is looking to see your passion and hunger for Christ. Because when there is passion and when there's hunger, the inevitable is growth. You ever been around someone who, and this is just like across the board, I'm speaking generally. You ever been around someone? I know for me, when I hear you know, someone talking about God and they're in a place where I'm not at. Like that creates like, it stirs like a healthy envy where I'm like, I want that. And when I listen to, you know, ministers who have that, face-to-face fellowship with Christ, where it's normal for him to walk in when they're worshiping. Like, that's what I want. And when I hear that, it does something to my faith. It excites me, and it builds my faith, because I'm hearing, and I'm hearing someone talking about their relationship and their experiences with the Lord. And through, you know, discernment, I discern that it's true. It's authentic. And I want to be able to walk with God in that way. And, you know, when to have that. And I'm not saying, you know, who you end up, you know, being with may be in that place where they're walking with God in that way. But to have a passion and hunger for God's word, to learn more about him, to study his word, to ask questions, like, that's attractive. I think, you know, a lot of, you know, both women and men are guilty of this, of putting so much stock and so much attention into their physical appearance and how they look, and we're and I think everyone is guilty of this in some way, whether consciously or subconsciously. But we put so much attention on our physical bodies, and the Apostle Paul talks about this, you know, that you should work out, you should exercise, you should maintain your health, but you shouldn't neglect your spirituality. You shouldn't neglect your spiritual walk with God. Because it's like being gifted with the Corvette or a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or a Maserati, and there's no engine inside, and there's no oil inside to lubricate the engine so that it functions properly. What good is it to be with someone and there's no oil inside, where God's presence doesn't dwell, or there's lukewarmness? You don't know where a person stands. They're hot one day and they're cold the other. They're living for the world and they're trying to live with Christ. And I'm not taking, you know, this isn't a criticism towards, you know, people who are struggling with their walk with God. And we all struggle. I do. I struggle. I repent. But to say that you are looking for one thing and then using your free will to live another way, it brings confusion. So a man of God is looking for a woman who's passionate and hunger for Christ. That's super attractive. And my last point, and I may need a few minutes to bring up the scripture for this, but the last point is, a man of God is looking for a woman walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And this scripture is in Galatians 5, I believe 20, starting at verse 22. So, I'm sorry, Galatians 5, verse 22. And this is the New King James Version that I'm reading from. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to repeat that again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No, I'm not saying that everyone doesn't have the fruit of the Spirit. We all, for those who have given their life to Christ, accepted Him as Lord and Savior, have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And the fruit that I just read off to you are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So we all have the fruit of the Spirit in us. The question is, are they activated? And how do we activate them? You know, the Lord talks about, Jesus talks about frequently, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Walk in love with one another. That's how the world will know that you're my disciples. They will know by how you love each other. He talks about serving all the time. And 1 Corinthians 13, where, you know, Paul so eloquently outlined and defined what love is through the revelation that he received from the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 13, it coincides with Galatians 5:22. If you notice, and I'm gonna jump to 1 Corinthians 13, and thank you, Holy Spirit, for pointing this out to me. See, in Galatians 5:25, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." So the first fruit of the Spirit is love, right? And let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Thank you, Jesus, for this. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to choose a different translation. Not feeling the New King James Version. So this is the NIV. And Paul begins with, "Love is patient, love is kind." And going back to Galatians 5:25, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." See, love is it. Everything begins with love. Without love, there's no patience, there's no kindness, there's no envy, there's no boasting, there's no pride. And going back to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, you know, 25, it's the first fruit of the Spirit is love. To walk in the fruit of the Spirit, you must have the love of Christ, and you must be intentional about walking in the love of God. Without love, you can't produce the other fruit that comes after it. And a man of God is looking for a woman who's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Because if she's walking in the fruit of the Spirit, in her is love. There's peace. There's forbearance. There's kindness. There's goodness. There's faithfulness. There's gentleness. And there's self-control. And there is no envy in her. There's no impatience. There's no boasting. There's humility. Without love, no one can walk in humility. And Jesus walked in great humility because he walked in great love. Never did Jesus look for a minute, a moment to glorify himself, to compliment himself. You never, you know, read about him talking about the number of times he healed someone or raising someone from the dead. Walking on water, speaking to the environment and the climate, that even the winds were subjected to the authority and the power of Christ. You never heard him boast about those things because Jesus embodied humility. And he always said, "The Father is greater than I." I only speak what I hear the Father speaks. I only do what I see the Father doing. Because Jesus walked in great reverence and awe and humility to the Father. He was totally surrendered. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 5:25? Husbands, submit yourself to your wives as Christ submits, you know. And I'll get into that in a different podcast, different episode. But can't you feel the love of God in His Word? And when a woman professes her faith for Christ publicly, when she studies the Word, when she's able to fellowship with you, when she has passion and hunger for Christ, and she's walking in the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God is emanating from her. And this is what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like. It's what she sounds like. So these are things that a godly man is looking for in a woman. I'm going to share the other five in the next episode. But to my woman in Christ, I want you to take time to consider the things that were shared in this message. Again, this isn't a him versus her, or a I'm not doing this out of a spirit of ridiculing. It's important for both a man and a woman to come into a relationship with a heart to serve one another, to walk in the love of Christ, to be forgiving, to be gentle with each other, to practice self-control, to not boast, to have long-suffering. This is the will of God for both men and women to experience with each other. It's not just a man. It's unfair to put so much weight and burden on a man that it leaves little room for accountability for you. Love is balanced. There should be balance in a relationship. You should be able to serve one another and not, you know, come into a situation feeling entitled. I think everyone has a sense of entitlement. We all want to be treated with respect. We all want to be loved. We want to be cared for. I take that back. Both men and women are looking for the same thing. Godly men are looking for love. They're looking for a woman that they can trust, that they can be transparent with, that they can be open and honest with and vulnerable. One of the most powerful things that a man can experience with a woman is vulnerability, because we're not taught to be vulnerable. We're taught to have on this mask. We're taught not to show emotion. A lot of us have never been taught how to love. We've never seen examples of it. We probably have watched different men walk in out of our lives. We probably have watched our parents, you know, go at each other. We've never probably have seen examples of a healthy relationship. And I believe that women should be understanding and cognizant of that, which is why it's good to have these conversations in the beginning of that courtship, or before you even, you know, commit to courting each other. Conversation can be so easily overlooked. there's so much power and necessity in conversation, because this is where you get to know one another. Ask the questions that can bring about revelatory conversation where you discover something about that person that you should know. And this doesn't necessarily mean that it's a negative or a bad thing, but to get to know the core and the heart and the spirit of the soul and the soul of someone, it enables you to understand that person and to be patient if their patience is needed, to be gentle if gentleness is needed, to be self-controlled if self-control is necessary. I make it my duty and my intentions to pray for the fruit of the Spirit. To be kind is attractive. To be rough, to be harsh and brash is totally unattractive. It's a turnoff. To be faithful, we already know what faithfulness all that it entails. And faithfulness is, it ties to one's passion and hunger for Christ. For those who are faithful to God, value what He's given them. People who are unfaithful to what God has given them no longer values who God is in their life. So it's my prayer that you have, that these words have sunk into your heart, and that you receive them in good faith. In good merit. And I want to pray before I close this message out. This is always going to be my custom, is to pray. Is to pray before I conclude, because I want Jesus to get all the glory. I want Jesus to be the center and the focal point of my messages. I want Him to be the center of your life and in your approach to finding love. And I believe that when you prepare by cultivating your personal relationship with God and growing in Him, fellowshipping with the Lord, pursuing Him with passion and with hunger, professing your love for Christ publicly, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, these are ways that both men and women can prepare. God wants us to be prepared for what He has for us. Because without preparation, it just becomes another experience. Why go through it again? It becomes another lesson. Lessons will always be there in life, but there are some lessons that we don't have to repeat, that we don't have to go through again. God wants us to get it. He wants us to pass those little tests that He gives us. He wants us to overcome the things that the enemy throws at us to distract, deter, and destroy. But you are an overcomer because Christ lives in you. You will get it right the next time. I'm decreeing that you will get it right. That you will avoid past mistakes, that you will overcome, that you will be healed. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you so much for speaking through me. I thank you, Lord, for using me. I surrender and I humble myself to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for being my shepherd, who I can always trust. And Jesus, I ask you to touch the person who's listening right now, that your love will just sink so deep into their hearts that they'll feel an overflow of your spirit, where breakthrough happens, where healing happens, where understanding becomes visible to their eyes. Jesus, give them ears to hear what you're saying in this message. Give them wisdom to know right from wrong, to discern your will. Bless them with an intense, create an intense hunger and stir after holiness and righteousness. Bring them to a place of consecration and sanctification, that they will call upon your name, Jesus, just to fellowship with you. And that their prayer life, that there will be a shift in their prayer life, where they're no longer praying about a list of things they want, and they'll start just praying just to be with you. I ask you, Lord, that you will just protect their minds from the words and the seeds that have been planted into them in this message, that the enemy won't snatch it. Bless them in their health. Give them peace. Give them light and darkness. Bless them with the fruit of your spirit. Let the fruit of your spirit begin to grow and sprout and blossom. Jesus, lay your spirit of peace across them like a blanket. Cover them in your blood. Forgive them for their sins. Destroy the yokes of the enemy that is upon their life to assassinate their self-worth, their confidence, and their belief in you. I decree and declare to you that you will overcome, that you will not repeat the mistakes of your past, that you will find love, and that the right man will come into your life. For God will send him to find you. And I want to pray for the godly man, for the words that have been spoken over your life to destroy you, to disqualify you. Don't believe the reports of the enemy. You are not your past. You are not your mistakes. You will be the man that Christ has called you to be. You will be a spiritual leader. You will be able to pray and speak into your wife's life when God reveals who she is. I speak healing in your soul for all the things that have happened to you in life that has hardened your heart, including women. The devil surely is a liar, and he will not prevail. It's in your name, Jesus, that I pray. Amen. If this message has touched you and blessed you, you're welcome to share it. If you have any questions for me, you can email me at iammelvindavis@gmail.com. That's iammelvindavis@gmail. Shoot me any questions. Leave some feedback if you want to. but tune into the second part of this message. I think it'll also bless your life.